Welcome to Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast. I'm your host, Tyson.
And I'm your host, Porter.
And we're writers, editors, and part-time filmmakers who love superheroes. Welcome back, everybody. Today, we are breaking down episode 4 in this new season of Peacemaker, and it's a fun one. Porter, what are your thoughts?
A lot happens. Feels right that we don't go back into the parallel universe this episode. It makes sense with the last one mostly taking place in it that this one's kind of like a breather, like in between of, okay, last chance before Peacemaker decides to go there and just stay there.
Right.
It was kind of cool though, because we finally get the answer to our question. We talked about it when we were rewatching the first season, was how did Peacemaker's dad get that like pocket dimension thing?
Yeah.
Because we kind of guessed that maybe he like did a job for someone and that was like his payment.
Neither of us really bought into that, like, he's just a really smart dude.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, literally.
But yeah, it is kind of a fun reveal. I mean, they did a great job with that reveal because it's, you know, obviously him and the boys hunting. And the thing that he shoots, both of us are like, that's not an animal.
Yeah.
Like, it moved in a really weird way. And then it was just a crazy design on the alien. But yeah, super fun reveal on how we got that. And then that totally plays into, like, the rest of the story this episode, which I was disappointed when it started because it was like, you know, this little background into that great title sequence, which we've both come to love that song.
Yeah.
And then I really thought there was going to be like a showdown at the house. It'd be like Peacemaker versus Argus, but Economos tips him off and he's able to get out of there in one piece, which I thought was lame a little bit because I was like, oh, there's not going to be like any tension or anything like that. But then it becomes a race against the clock because Peacemaker has a way to like get the dimension out of there, and he's kind of working against the clock and is trying to,
yeah, the alien tech that makes the portal is transportable, which is crazy.
Oh yeah,
so super fun.
And but almost like nail biter of like a sequence where we have Economos trying to stall them with his like just bombastic tactics and Peacemaker just trying to get help from Adebayo, show up at a cabin, and like move this thing as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah, that's a good point. I, at first, it does definitely feel reminiscent of when the police squad like surrounds his trailer in the first season.
Totally.
And I was kind of seemed like it was going to be a repeat of that. It wasn't. We got to see kind of a little mini rematch between Judo Master and Peacemaker, which was fun.
Yeah.
And we also get to see Economos protect Eagly by pushing Red St. Wild onto a rock and just lying and saying that another eagle pushed him.
Which was such a crazy bit. We both thought he was dead.
Oh, yeah.
they do that classic, like, you know, push a person over and they do that awful crunching sound and their head hits something it shouldn't. Yeah. You're like, oh, so that they're gone. But no, bro wakes up and claims he has had his third eye opened.
Jeez,
it's actually, yeah, just a bloody gash on his head, but yeah, he believes the story that Economos told him and is now like on this great quest to like destroy the leader of all eagles, which, what a crazy arc. We really thought Rooker was out, but he's so back.
And it's funny because like before this point, when they're driving to go to Peacemaker's house, they're kind of all having an argument, and Red St. Wild is by the Peacemaker show standards a polite person. Like, he seems well-meaning and professional, but after he hits his head, dude, he just more of him is revealed and you get to spend more time with him and you're just like, this guy is whack,
absolutely off his rocker. But yeah, that scene where they're driving to Peacemaker's place is actually really funny because most of these characters we haven't spent a whole lot of time with. Obviously we got Langston and Economos kind of with their back and forth. I mean, obviously we know they're both just They butt heads in, yeah, the funniest way possible. But we get them kind of like bickering on the way over there, and it's really funny. It's kind of that vigilante Peacemaker energy where people are just acting like idiots and being pedantic, but neither of them are present for that, which low-key makes it even funnier.
Right. Like, the comedy or those types of conversations can happen outside of Peacemaker vigilante.
Right. I mean, it's all in the writing there. So yeah, Peacemaker ends up back in his house and finally notices that things are a wreck, which he failed to notice before, because when he came to his house after that, you know, eagle attack, he was just plastered, right? He was in a bad place. So he just went to the dimension, big chilling.
But it was funny. He gives Eagly some like lunch meat, and then later Red St. Wild like eats some eagle poop, and it's just like, 4 days old, some cold cuts. And I'm just, oh, geez, it's so gross.
You thought he wasn't going to do it for a second.
No, I thought he was. And then like
he paused.
He sniffed it a little bit. I was like, oh, okay. He's just smelling it. And then he ate it. Oh,
it was crunchy.
Oh, geez. Yeah, dude, it's 4 days old. An important development in this episode was Adebayo being really excited about having an ad in what kind of seems like a gun magazine. And even if Chris later says that it's a scam, it still is like a big moment. Like, she's excited. And it tells us that she is serious about this security consulting business.
Right.
And she's making steps to try and make herself known and make it a real thing.
Which is cool. I mean, she definitely has that, like, I'm going to do this energy around it. She's even texting her wife, ex-wife, this person that she's on terrible terms with.
Yeah.
Super stoked about getting this ad. Yeah, it's cool. It's a fun development for her. But then it leads directly to Chris, you know, texting her and being like, help, I need you so bad.
Yeah. And then when they finally get together, we finally get Peacemaker telling another character after four episodes about this other dimension.
Yeah, he's really kept it to himself for a while.
And she doesn't believe him. Like, no. I don't blame her, right? Like, I probably wouldn't believe him.
Yeah.
But they kind of get that discussion going of, he's like, it is so much better there. Like, why... I'm going to go, like, I'm thinking of living there. And she's like, you can't. Like, this is where you're supposed to be. This is who you are, right? And it really sets up that, like, what's the right word? Kind of the inner conflict of our main character,
right, as the season goes on. Sort of the moral dilemma he's up
against. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, where, I mean, we all kind of see the dreamer in him, where he's like, life ain't so great here, and it feels so much better over here. And Adebayo is just that pesky voice of reason that's like, this isn't right. Like,
yeah,
this isn't your home.
No, and it does make me wonder if she is gonna go into the new universe and like she can have like a healthier, happier relationship, and if her opinion will change. But as of right now, she is the voice of reason.
Yeah. And she seems relatively undeterred by this, like, emergency call from Peacemaker. He moves this alien door to a cabin in the middle of nowhere, and she's, like, been there, done that. But she freaks out when Peacemaker tells her that he is, like, with Harcourt in this other dimension.
Or oh, right.
Was, and she, she, like, can't handle that, which is actually really funny.
I know, it's funny, because, like, she was definitely, like, prying with Harcourt in the last episode, trying to figure out if there was something there. And Harcourt was like, yeah, definitely no.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Dead in the dirt. Don't even think about it. And then to find out that Chris is literally thinking of going to another dimension to be with her. That's not the only reason, but it's a huge
strong
perk.
Reason. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huge perk.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of admits that that's the reason he got caught in the first place, was staring at a photo of the two of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It just makes it even more devastating that Harcourt is so willing to sell him out.
I know. So, yeah. Yeah, so that was a good scene where Harcourt's just at her apartment and Rick Flag Sr. pulls up and she's like, oh, hey, General or whatever. And he's like, just call me Rick. And we were kind of talking about it while watching it, but they have a much more of a relationship than just strictly professional, right? Because she dated his son. They had to have known each other outside of work.
But yeah, wasn't that a bit in the beginning where she was talking about, you know, you're about to ship out, you should be like with your girlfriend, your wife. I don't know who June is, but
like in the flashback in the last episode.
Yeah, where we get that reveal of them being together.
Okay, that's a good point. Doesn't he say, like, you knew Ricky or something in this scene.
It's entirely possible.
Like, he insinuates that at least they knew each other pretty well, even if they weren't, like, dating. At the
very least, we know that they were, like, together in some capacity on the Corto Maltese mission, right? Even though he was in the field and she was back kind of running up.
Right, because, yeah, her and Economos, if I remember right, were part of the team that mutinied at the right. end. But I guess that makes a good point, right? Like, they weren't dating in the sense that she would have, like, formally met Rick Flag Sr. as...
like, not necessarily, yeah, right? They made it sound like they were kind of hiding it. But
yeah, okay.
You make a good point that there is good reason that he would be saying, you don't need to call me General.
Right.
And at the very least, because he wants her to do something for him, he might be trying to get a bit friendly.
That's true, yeah. So he is being like, hey, we need you to give us Peacemaker and you'll get a job.
Right. And this is where we find out that she was, like, officially blacklisted. It's not only that she has toxic masculinity, it's that, you know, Amanda Waller had a vendetta against her after her own daughter sold her out. So she just, you know, made sure she would never get a job for the government again.
Yeah, which is pretty messed up. But honestly, government jobs, come on. No, I'm kidding. How great can it be? I'm sure, like, at least in her case, like, you could for sure find, like, a private, like, security position. I don't know. But
I mean, you could always put an ad out in.
Yeah, exactly. In the magazine, for sure. Yeah, I don't know how great government work on that level would be. Maybe it's awesome. Maybe that's why she loves it. But like you said, it's what she's good at. So,
well, and it's clear that, I mean, I can almost see why she's desperate for a leg up, because obviously she can't get work. She wants this kind of work and she's in a bad place. I mean, we start her introduction in this episode with her back at the bars fighting people.
Yeah.
And we get that classic James Gunn Superman teeth getting knocked out in slow-mo. Totally. Excellent, excellent look. But yeah, she's clearly, like, battling some demons, and she desperately needs money. She's, like, you know, about to be kicked out of her place. Like, it is an opportune moment for her. I mean, it almost feels predatory, Rick Flag coming for her like that, but I can see why she would go for it, especially feeling the antipathy towards Peacemaker that she does.
Yeah, there's kind of that hesitation of, she's walking out to her car and she's like, I'm not going to just sell him out. But then, she, like, almost immediately, she's like, I'm going to meet him, bring people. I'm like, dude, like...
It's clear, yeah, she was a little on the fence, but not really. And we get that kind of puppy dog hurt look from Economos.
Yeah, because at least Chris knows that Economos is on his side, because he's texting him, right? And he's calling him, he's helping him out.
Oh, yeah.
But Harcourt, who is the one that he really cares about, is the one that's, like, actually going to get him caught. And we don't see what happens at the end of the episode. Like, the ambush is going to happen next episode, but it's clearly because the first season had 10 episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would make sense for this fifth episode to have the big midpoint be this ambush.
Yeah,
so
kind of a betrayal from Harcourt. And it's likely, right? Like, the final thing that'll chase him back into the other dimension. But yeah, you bring up a good point. And this show does such a good job with cliffhangers. I'm consistently very excited for the next episode. And I don't feel that with, like, all the shows I watch. If not many.
Yeah, for sure.
I am curious, though. They mentioned a park, and I am low-key wondering if that's the same park that he and Harcourt had that heart-to-heart in the other dimension. I feel like that would have some kind of meaning to him.
That would definitely make sense. I think you're right on that.
Yeah, we get this whole, like, setup with all them kind of driving over there. And I kind of assume the episode is, you know, around over, and we get this cut to Red Saint Wild in the forest, which... is funny because, once again, we get that, like, he has his own journey and everything, but they keep coming back to him, and he's going to be such a character in this. It's obvious.
Right. Like, he kind of seems like a side, like, maybe kind of to the extent of, like, Judo Master was in the first season.
Right. But where he plays a role, but doesn't have much of an arc, per se.
Yeah, we don't know much about him.
Yeah. But we get this excellent sequence of him doing, like, Kumbaya, which, like... how do you think they approached Michael Rooker about this?
Jeez, I don't know, man. At the end, I would imagine he'd have to be a pretty fun guy to be around. Like, he'd have to be pretty laid back to just do all these different roles, because he's done a lot of different stuff, and I like him as an actor. I enjoy everything I've seen him in so far.
Yeah, I've yet to see him in a role where he detracts from the story at all. He tends to move it along at a great pace. Excellent actor.
That like slightly raspy voice is iconic.
It really is. Yeah. Oh, it so is. So it's strange to see him like stripped down, just dancing around the fire.
Literally, yeah.
Making an eagle in the dirt with his blood. Like it is such a crazy.
Seriously, but then that eagle symbol he does. Like, shows up on his forehead where the injury was.
Which I thought was, like, a straight-up hallucination. They go crazy with the VFX here with, like, this blue portal. And, like, he starts, like, flying. And I'm just, like, obviously he's just, like, tripping. Out of his mind. Yeah. But then he's following eagerly in the air. And he ends up, like, at the cabin where Peacemaker is. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that's how they find him. So I wonder if there'll be the big ambush happening next episode with Peacemaker, Hardcore, Rick Flag Sr., all of them. And then almost like a mini ambush with Vigilante and Adebayo meeting Red Saint Wild.
Oh my gosh, totally. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and even like just the reason that they're able to find this cabin, because they have like zero leads other than perhaps, you know, being able to detect another portal somewhere and find his cabin. But chances are low, right?
Yeah.
So that would make sense how they could, you know, find that and hypothetically chase him into the other dimension, which would be an excellent conflict.
Yeah, that brings up like kind of my last note was, do you think next episode we'll go into the other dimension again? Or do you think we'll have another episode fully in our universe?
I think it depends on how the ambush goes.
Okay.
Obviously, if Argus has an iota of success against Peacemaker, they could detain him. Things could get, you know, into, you know, legality. He could end up in prison. I mean, they could go a lot of places with that, keeping him here. But if he's able to escape successfully and, you know, kind of has his heart broken by Hardcore, I could see him immediately just being like, you know, like, F this. I'm done with this universe. Like, this is the last straw. I'm curious what the question is he's wanting to ask her.
I'm sure it's like, is there any chance in the world that we could be together? That's my best guess.
Right. And that would be like double levels of heartbreak if she, you know, obviously would be like, no. And then also sell him out so completely.
Literally.
I feel like he would, at that point, be able to make his way back. But I wouldn't be opposed to another episode in this universe because it feels like they're really winding up to, like, a story in this other universe, right? So I would love for things to be sort of wrapped up or even to just have, like, a natural movement into this other universe where we can then...
Well, yeah, like you said before I brought this up, it is possible that they chase him into the universe, right? Or I wonder if he escapes from the ambush, he makes it into the other universe, and Adebayo and or Vigilante are left behind because they get captured or something by Red Saint Wild, and now they go to them because they actually know that there is another universe that he's been going to, and that's how they chase him in there.
That is an excellent theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not be opposed if that was the move. That feels like a very clever writing.
Like, it makes sense, I guess, right?
Totally. I mean, either way, it seems pretty clear, at least in this next episode or the one after, they would have to end up in this new universe because...
For sure.
They've set up a lot there, and I'm excited to see more of it. We even got Vigilante literally crossing his fingers to see another version of himself.
Seriously, yeah.
Just so much fun. Okay, I have a question that I've been kind of stewing on since last episode.
Okay. You are a stewer. No, I'm kidding.
Oh! I'm curious if you believe or might agree that the reason that Peacemaker's dad is better in this new universe is because Keith is still alive.
Oh. I could see that being the case, but we haven't seen what his dad was like when they were kids.
Right.
Whereas we've seen what their dad was like when they were kids in our normal universe. And his dad's like a terrible person even when, you know, they were younger.
Oh, for sure. I think my headcanon was just the theory that, you know, terrible person, obviously, but, you know, raises these two ruffians and they kind of bring it together. They become the superheroes or the gods among men that he imagined them to be. And they're all kind of a super team together. And that makes him kind of a soft-hearted old fool, right? Rather than just like completely hating Peacemaker.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Obviously, there's some stark differences. I mean, his superhero persona, though we haven't seen it in this universe, is blue. It seems like he's not quite the white dragon, you know, white supremacist kind of piece of garbage. But
yeah,
I am curious if that had a significant effect in this universe.
That's an interesting point. Like, I wonder if, like, if he finds out that his Chris is dead, he just, like, goes off the rails, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, that would not bode well. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the amount of people in this universe that would instantly turn on him if they knew what he did.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we'll have to see if our predictions are right. But yeah, that's all for this week's episode. We appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.
See you next time.